Dr. Cade.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are two SSC memos in the distribution that represent the SSC's report for this month. There are two major issues that we dealt with at our December 8th and 9th meeting. The first was the review of the EFH Swept Area Seabed Impact, or SASE, model, and the other was a miscellaneous list of SSC procedures. I'll be reporting on those today. There was another issue that the SSC was involved in by correspondence, and that was review of the National Standard 2 guidelines. Those are in draft and out for public review. Comments are due by March. I don't have any specific report on those, but we can field questions on those if you like. Chris Kellogg put together comments from council staff and the SSC. So we can come back to questions on that if you wish. I'll go ahead with our review of the habitat impact model. We had met with the habitat plan development team in March and reviewed a preliminary version of the swept area seabed impact model. We provided technical feedback to the PDT. They worked through the year to address our comments, and they presented a revised model to us last December. To cut to the chase, the SSC concluded that the updated model is useful for evaluating alternative management options that have substantially different habitat impacts. Based on the terms of reference, we did identify some of the strengths and weaknesses of the model that should be considered when applying the model. I should add that the SSC has strongly compliments the habitat team for their work in this. I think the New England Council has a technical tool that they can be proud of. I think nationally and globally, this is a state-of-the-art approach to evaluating the effects of fishing on habitat. So getting into some of the details of our review, one of the limitations of the model is not the model itself, but the data that it's based on. Things like fishing effort from logbooks, substrate samples, don't have the spatial resolution we may need to evaluate some habitat impacts. One particular limitation that the model and the data may have is comparing among gear types, and I'll follow up on that a bit. The SSC felt that one of the next steps in the model development would come up with some form of variability, precision, or measurement error of the habitat impact analysis. It really comes down to a question of how big of a difference is meaningful. And to take a statistical approach to that, you'd usually want some measure of uncertainty or measurement error to put in context for any difference between impact assessments, whether the difference is within the measurement error or not. And so that was our feedback to the plan development team that the next stage should consider some uncertainty in the impact measures. Getting back to the comparison of gear types or the habitat impacts from different gears, there's an important assumption made in the impact model, and that is that fishing effort is additive. If for a given management action, there's no specification of overlaying gear types over the same bottom. It's considered to have a footprint of effect, and that footprint is additive for the amount of effort that would go into the management action. This assumption about additivity may be more valid for some gears than others. For example, for fixed gear, they're not set on top of each other, at least not intentionally. With mobile gear within the same trip, you can fish the same bottom over and over again. So in that sense, the additivity assumption may be more valid for fixed gear than mobile gear, and comparing the impacts of mobile gear to fixed gear may not be the strength of this model. The other thing that needs to be worked on in the future is ground truthing some of the assumptions in the model. One of them is the susceptibility of each habitat type to each gear type. This could be verified in the field with experimental trials. The other assumption is recovery rate. This is largely from the literature, but it would be useful to experimentally verify that the different habitat types have the recovery rates that are assumed in the model. But again, to get back to our major recommendation to the council, the swept area seabed impact model is a technically sound basis for evaluating the relative effects of alternative management decisions on habitat impact. That was the goal of the model. We feel it meets that goal well. As with any model, we should keep in mind its assumptions and its limitations. And in this case, the data used by the model does not currently have adequate resolution for the model to detect subtle differences in habitat impact, particularly among different gear types. That was all I had on habitat. I will proceed with SSC procedures. Elections are underway. Nominations and votes are being done by correspondence, and these will be confirmed by the Council Executive Committee. Over the last year, you may remember that there have been some issues and concerns about quorum with the SSC. To resolve that, we're recommending to the Council that two new members be added to the membership. So that would increase our membership from 15 to 17 members. Associated with that, we do not suggest that you increase quorum. Quorum does not necessarily have to be one plus half or a majority. It can be what the process decides, and we are suggesting that quorum remain at 8 members to give us a critical mass for deliberating on issues, but allow that to come from 17 members. Looking forward in what we expect the SSC to be challenged with in the future, we see two different fields of expertise that we would need to expand on the SSC, and that would be in matters of ecosystem studies or social sciences. Therefore, the SSC nominates this list of people who fit one of those categories. They're experts in one of those disciplines, ecosystem studies or social sciences. Of course, the nomination process is to nominate these to the executive committee. Council members can also nominate SSC members to the executive committee for final appointment by the executive committee. Peer review is something we reviewed as well, and this is related to our review of National Standard 2 guidelines. That's determining best science available. After detailed review and long discussion, the SSC concludes that the current process is appropriate, that the SSC feels that it has appropriate input into the peer review process, and that is through reviewing the terms of reference for each peer review and providing input, as well as providing membership to the peer review so that New England SSC members can participate in the peer review. And that helps us with consistency between the peer review and the SSC review. The last bullet is a bit of a tangent, but we feel it's important. Several times over the last year, there's been a desire to have stakeholder input to the SSC in the very final stages of our catch advice development. We value input from stakeholders, but we needed to inform them that this wasn't the most effective venue for their input, and it left us asking what is the most appropriate venue for stakeholder input. We don't know the answer to that, and there may be a process like advisory committees, but we're just reminding the council that that should be maintained, that those venues for stakeholder input should be maintained throughout the decision-making process. Research priorities were on our agenda. As you may remember, research priorities usually initiate with the Research Steering Committee. Plan development staff, council staff have input to that. And in the last couple years, we have delivered to the council a long list of research priorities. Essentially, the SSC feels that we can do better on that for you, is that rather than having a long list, it's really more of a challenge to prioritize that list. So in this next year, we're proposing a new process in which plan development teams identify the research needs for their fishery of interest, including the research recommendations from the most recent peer review, and suggest priorities. The SSC will then recompile that list by category, not necessarily by plan, and identify some common issues. The SSC will then develop a short list of priorities that we feel will be more valuable to the council and the Northeast Science and Management System. The last issue in our SSC procedures is the 2010 agenda. This is what we're proposing to the council. Of course, we need council support to hold these meetings, and we should be on the same page as to what our agenda is for the year. So our proposal is that our first meeting, first of all, that we have four meetings through the year. Our March meeting be focused on red crab, skates, and ecosystem-based fishery management. And we also review the terms of reference and appoint an SSC representative for the fall 2010 SARC. So that would be reported to the Northeast Coordinating Committee. For red crab, the term of reference generally would be to develop acceptable biological catch recommendations for 2011 and reconsider 2010 ABC. Now, given this morning's discussion about scallops and revising reference points, it would be useful to have guidance as to whether the council would like us to revisit reference points or to simply accept the previous data poor workshop estimate of MSY for red crab. So that's something we're probably going to want to get clarification on so we don't have the same confusion that we ran into with FMAX of scallops. For skates, you may remember that when we revised our ABC for skates, we were not able to use the fall 2008 survey data. That data are available. That's for six of our seven skates. That survey is the status determination criteria. The overfished threshold, the minimum stock size threshold, is based on that albatross survey. We would like to be able to use the last year of that survey to revise the 2010 and 2011 acceptable biological catch. The data had not been reviewed at the time of the September meeting, and at that point we had requested the ability to revise those for 2010 and 11. The ecosystem-based fishery management, this is the result of last summer's workshop. Bob O'Boyle is leading the edit, the production of this draft policy paper. Several sections are under development by different drafting teams, and we should have a draft for the full SSC review in March. Our next meeting, the second meeting that we're proposing, is early summer to review the salmon acceptable biological catch recommendation, review the list of research priorities from PDTs and to prioritize those, and then to have a bit of a longer-term look of where we are with each fishery management plan with respect to ABC control rules, when the next management cycle is, and what is the next step towards improving the ABC control rules. For some of the plans, you know that we have interim ABCs. When we were not able to fully comply with National Standard 1 guidelines. For other plans, we're at the stage of having a conversation with the council about risk tolerance and determining what the appropriate risk is. We feel that it would be most effective to evaluate these issues when a management plan is not imminent, there's no deadline, and that we can think perhaps a little bit more broadly about the best way to proceed with ABC control rules. The late August, early September meeting is actually quite a full meeting. For that, we'll have results from the SCOLLOP peer review assessment, and we can develop our ABC recommendation based on that. There will also be some updates for groundfish. There'll be a pollock benchmark review, and we can hopefully revise our acceptable biological catch based on the SARC results. There will be an update for Georges Bank yellowtail, so we'll have track results to update and develop ABC recommendations. I understand that there's some communication going on now with the Transboundary Management Committee on the scheduling of the SSC, should the SSC come after the TMGC, which is essentially a process issue, and we'll leave it to the process experts to hammer that out. We'll also revisit any index-based acceptable biological catch determinations, and that will be a basis of the calibration workshop. The last meeting for the year is monkfish overfishing limit and acceptable biological catch recommendation. This will also be based on the benchmark monkfish assessment. We'll also determine the terms of reference or review the terms of reference for the next SARC and TRAC and determine SSC representatives. And we're right back in the cycle again. We'll go through SSC procedures and review the 2011 agenda. So next up for the SSC, if approved by the council, is to review the acceptable biological catch and form recommendations for 2010 and 11. Skates, reconsider 2010 and 2011 based on updated survey data, review the ecosystem-based fishery management draft policy paper, and discuss the next SARC. That's all I had, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if you want to go back through issue, if we want to go back to the habitat comments first.
Mary Beth?
I was looking. Do we have a copy of your presentation?
Yeah, it should be in your distribution. It was in the binder out in front.
Tab 12, document number 1.
Yeah, I didn't.
I think there might be one on the table if you don't have one. Anyone else? Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. If you go back to the habitat. Skip that for a second. Question for you regarding the 2010 SSC agenda, late August through early September. This is your three-day meeting where you indicate that relative to groundfish ABC recommendations, you're going to be looking at index-based ABCs, review the calibration workshop, and recent survey data. This is not a specific workshop regarding calibration. You are going to just take a look at what? Would you clarify, please?
Thank you, David. As you may remember, there was a workshop done last summer to review the calibration experiment that was done between the albatross and the Bigelow. Those data and results are now available, and we can use those to determine whether we can use updated survey information to revise our index-based ABCs. You may remember that we have a multi-year specification that was already approved last September. We feel that since we have new data since then, we should at least examine it and determine whether we should propose to the council revised ABCs based on updated data. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And that leads me to my second question that's related. Your upcoming schedule for March indicates Skates reconsideration of 2010 and 2011 ABC recommendations using updated survey data. So my question is, with regard to skates, is the cart before the horse? Since the calibration workshop, if you're reviewing the findings of the calibration workshop, and that's going to occur in the summertime, doesn't that review that you'll be doing have some relevance to your reconsideration of those ABCs for skates using updated survey data?
There's slightly different issues, David, in that our groundfish index-based ABCs were updated through fall of 2008. And so those have the entire albatross series. They're based on the most recent albatross series we have. The issue for groundfish is to see if we can bridge between the albatross and the Bigelow survey. Skates is somewhat different, is that we did not use the 2008 fall survey data. So we know that we can at least use that without much revision, since that is the status determination criterion for this resource. It has status already. That is more or less using the accepted methods and just updating them. Now, we could consider updating them with Bigelow data as well, but we would at least want to use the 2008 fall albatross data. So there's two things we can do there. But I take your point. We might consider the Bigelow data for skates as well.
Yeah, if you could, that would be very useful. Back to habitat. I finally found the document. This is document number one under the SSC in the binder, where you indicate at the very beginning of your review of the EFH Omnibus Two-Phase Two Analytical Tool, the SASI, you list all, well, I think you've got five components of recommendations that the SSC provided in March of 2009. And you very appropriately congratulated the PDT for the good work they've done to try to respond to all the specific questions and concerns you raised and recommendations you made at that time. It's unclear to me the extent to which the plan development team has actually been able to address all the specific issues that you raised, and I see at least five very significant issues that relate to these particular components. For example, number three, the general approach, the spatial analysis is appropriate to overlay habitat and fishing effort, but several methodological refinements are needed to more accurately characterize habitat, including analyses of heterogeneous data and the inference of energy levels from shear stress. Did they do that? Were they able to do that? So it's unclear to me how much more work they have to do relative to the recommendations you made back in March.
Yeah, thank you, David. In response to our tech, both what you see in italics on page one of our memo and the technical feedback that we gave to the habitat team, the response was delivered in a response to each element. And the SSC has determined that the plan development team has responded to each of our technical criticisms to using the best data available. For number three, for example, heterogeneity within cells was actually treated in a way that we had asked for. The data, of course, can't be improved. We can't go back in time to get more benthic substrate data, but the heterogeneity approach was refined. And I'll ask Michelle Bachman if I'm outstepping my bounds here. Is Michelle around? Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so that was the heterogeneity issue was addressed. I'd leave it to Michelle to give you the details on that.
All right, thank you, Steve. One final question. In your SSC recommendation at the bottom of page two in that particular memo, you note it's a technically sound model. We can use it for evaluating relative effects of alternative management decisions on habitat impact, but here's where I need some further clarification. You say at the very end, the SSC says at the very end, that this model, the data used by the model does not currently have adequate resolution for the model to detect subtle differences in habitat impact among different types of fishing gear. Could you explain what subtle means?
Yeah, it's that's about as precise as we could get without a measure of uncertainty. And we discussed this at length in the SSC because we anticipate that the council will have applications of this model where you have different alternatives being evaluated, and you have a different habitat impact footprint, area swept. And what we're trying to answer is how big of a difference is a meaningful difference. The closest we came to is about a doubling in score is something that certainly would be something to consider, but a small numerical difference may not be a meaningful difference, especially between gear types. But until we have this measurement error evaluated, I can't answer that more precisely. Large differences are something to take seriously. Small differences may be within the measurement error of the tool.
Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to very much thank Dr. Cadron and the SSC for the thorough reviews and for the guidance that they gave the Habitat PDT both last spring and last month. It was a pleasure to work with them, they added an awful lot of value added, I think is what I want to say here. Also, you mentioned that the nominations for the SSC, that they can come from the council. Is this an appropriate time?
I think so. I think we're talking about the whole report at this point.
Okay. All right, then I would like to strongly nominate Dr. Mike Fogarty to the SSC for a number of reasons. One is that we will, with the Habitat Committee, we're going to be beginning to create an ecosystem plan, and Dr. Fogarty is one of the best around for that sort of thing. He's also an expert in productivity, and I foresee that productivity analysis is going to become a big part of the ecosystem plan, so I would strongly support the Dr. Mike Fogarty for the SSC.
I was just checking with Paul on how we handle nominations to the SSC because I've never lived through one. Not that your motion or your sentiment is out of order. I just wonder if it's better for us to set a specific agenda time where council members can bring forward additional nominations. That's just my thinking. Paul.
The other thing to do, Mr. Chairman, is the executive committee appoints the SSC members, so is to, instead of do it in public and debate whether you should appoint someone or not, is just to give the list to the executive committee, and we'll get a list from the SSC members of who they nominate as well, and then let the executive committee do its job rather than do it in public. So I can call for nominations and send you all folks a letter, an email.
More discussion on this point, kind of deviating from the agenda item, but it's important. Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, I just wanted the SSC has nominated all these qualified individuals with an emphasis on ecosystem considerations and socioeconomic issues. Would it be possible, Steve, for you to highlight which of these individuals have the expertise in social sciences, where I find there to be a burning need for the SSC? Some of these individuals I don't know very well, if at all. So who in this short list would be socioeconomic issues, do you know?
Yes, they're alphabetized. So let me go through. For socioeconomics, Patricia Pinto da Silva, Eric Dunberg, and those are the two social scientists in that list, I don't think I'm missing one. Yep.
Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just one comment, and I'm not sure if I've made it in the past. I think I may have, but maybe not. I think it would... We've talked about the policies before, but I still continue to think that appointing people to the SSC, the full council should do it. I think we should consider having an annual, once-a-year executive session. I think the current structure with the committee gets a lot of work out of the way in a very efficient manner, but I think there should be some things that are left for the full council discussion, and I think this is one. But not to debate that one too long. As far as the SSC putting forward new procedures or just some modifications, they aren't terribly significant and should be helpful. Do we need to approve that at the full council? What's the process there?
Yes, at the executive committee will review this in March, and then we'll bring them to the full council on, in April to approve the operating procedures or the, what do we call it, the operations handbook. You folks approve those policies.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify that we weren't supposed to be doing something about that today. And then just to comment a little bit on the SSC notes that input from stakeholders is not effective during the formation of SSC recommendations, and there's a need for an appropriate venue. I would suggest that we look to other regions. I'm really only familiar with one other region and how they do handle that. They do. It is a public process that takes stakeholder input during the process, during the SSC meeting, and it seems to work particularly well for them. If it were some other venue that's not at the SSC meeting, it's really difficult for me to envision how the public interacts with members of the SSC. So maybe we could look to some other models. I know the North Pacific on their webpage has a link to their SSC procedures and whatnot that goes with that. Might be a place to start.
Yeah, I think the spirit here is that if we could get stakeholder input earlier in the process at the strategic level, you know, that towards the risk tolerance topics, there are certain aspects of management action where we dearly need stakeholder input. We're at the early stages, for example, of a Pollock benchmark assessment, and with the help of some industry leaders, we had a meeting with Pollock fishermen last Friday. This is at the formative stage of compiling the data and making some basic decisions about the Pollock assessment. That, in my perception, is a much more fruitful stage at which to get stakeholder input rather than the last stage of what should the catch be next year. So that's earlier is, I think, generally what the SSC is asking for and that the right process be identified.
And I think identifying that input earlier is a really very good idea. But having watched it go on in one other place, I mean, I think that particularly for industry members, which many do, or not many, but some of us do, participate in the whole process of the SAWSARC, and when it comes down to that stage, do have input and do want to have input. So if it's problematic currently how it's set up, I think we should look at that, but I think we need to continue to allow for that back and forth. So.
Okay. Mary Beth?
And just one more thing about providing input on terms of reference, which the SSC is going to be participating in that process. And I know that the industry, as the Science Center prepared for the herring track and the mackerel track, which is coming up as well, has had some interaction with the Science Center on being part of the process of, you know, developing the terms of reference. And I think that there was some discussion about being more inclusive in that process. I mean, the industry who are on the water and have different ideas about stock structure and some of those things really do have some value to bring to that. And I think we just need to formalize it. I think everyone kind of agreed that, there was value, but we just haven't really laid out how that all comes together.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one quick comment or clarification on Paul's comment saying that we should do this in executive committee rather than in public. I just want people to understand that the executive committee meetings are, in fact, open to the public on a non-discussion basis, not participating in the discussion basis, but for observation. So I think we're really what it is following our operating procedures in which the executive committee should do that. That's just a clarification.
Anyone want to talk about Habitat or the work plan that the SSC's brought forward? Paul?
This one issue about stakeholder participation, you know, I've been looking at the other models, and I like the idea of the SSC meeting with us the whole week we're meeting, because that seems to be working very well in all of the other councils. But we're very different here, and they all have, and I've talked to Steve and I've talked to staff, and it's almost impossible for them to do that where they all have different jobs and everything else. And it's maybe over time we might be able to get into that, but right now with the extended workload to meet our new Magnuson requirements to get everything in by a certain time, we don't even have our staff work done in time for them to review it and then give it out. And it's just a mess, the timing right now. But I hope eventually we'll get our whole SSC to meet with us the five times a year that we meet. And I think that eventually can solve some problems. And we're working towards that end, but it's been difficult to do that.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. I mean, that is exactly how the initial SSC procedures were written, as you know. And I think as we went through a couple of years of trying to execute that, we realized that logistically it wasn't going to be possible. But I also think that there are some advantages to not having concurrent meetings, and that is people can't be at both meetings at once. I think we're very lucky to have participation by many council members in our SSC meetings. We have committee chairs, advisory chairs, the chair of the council. That's valuable to us. And then we can have SSC members that I should have recognized John Annala and Jay Kreitzer are here today with me, participating in council meetings. Also the timing, that we don't need to have a recommendation developed one day and reported the next, that we can spend the time that some of these recommendations need to develop. So before we jump into the mode that other regions use, I think we would want to consider the benefits of having separate meetings of the council and SSC. There are relative merits.
Dave Gaethel and Terry Stockwell.
To the points that are being raised at the moment, personally, I prefer to get a recommendation from the SSC in advance of the council meeting so I can read it and think about it. If I get it the day of, I really haven't got much chance to work on it, ask any questions or anything. As to whether the public participates in the SSC process or not, I would suggest that it's better off to be like the council's executive committee, that they can observe but not participate unless specifically asked. I've been concerned from day one with this reauthorization of the Magnuson Act and the increased responsibilities of the SSC, that the political pressure point would devolve from the council, which, quite frankly, most of the people here have hides like rhinoceros and are used to being ripped apart, to the SSC, where they're far less likely to have developed that ability to withstand pressure because they tend to operate in a more academic environment. So, again, several opposing views wandering about the council, but I am concerned with the public having an extensive commenting into the SSC meetings. I think it really doesn't allow them to do the job they have to do.
Any further comments or questions for Terry? That's right.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Maine DMR has a number of dedicated SAM and staff members, work often very closely with the agency. Can someone explain to me exactly what our salmon plan is and why the SSC is reviewing it?
Salmon is a New England Fishery Management Council FMP, and so it has all the same Magnuson requirements as any other FMP.
Terry, you're the chair of the Salmon Committee. If you can't answer that question.
I'm going to get you back for that one.
Anything else? Dr. Jim?
Thank you. I've been sitting here thinking about Mary Beth's comment about getting some industry input into the terms of reference for SAWSARC and TRAC, and I think that's a good idea, and I'm just trying to figure out the best way to do that. And right now with the SAWSARC process, we go through a number of formal steps to get the terms of reference set, but the one conduit that is in common to all the the feedback that we look for is once we work with the generic terms of reference and then meet with the assessment scientists to edit them for each stock, then those terms of reference are given to the NRCC, which has members of the senior people from many of the management organizations and regional office that the Science Center interacts with. And we've basically asked them to distribute those draft terms of reference out to all the committees and groups that they work with. And then through the NRCC, I'm looking for them to filter all the comments and return comments to me from their individual groups. So in order to make this manageable, it helps if I get the feedback from a limited number of sources rather than 100 different people all sending me their ideas of what the terms of reference should include. So if there's a way to work out that in the future, I think after that step where we provide the draft terms of reference to the NRCC, that would be a good point if they could provide those to the industry groups that work on those species, as well as they're given to the SSC as well. And then if those comments could come back to the council staff for some editing and filtering and then returned to us at the Science Center, that would be a manageable way to do that. That's just my initial thoughts on it. But I do think it's certainly worthy of getting everybody's input. I'm just trying to keep it manageable and timely.
Mary Beth?
Yes, thank you, Jim, for that, because that does remind me of some of the process we went through with herring and mackerel and how that worked and the discussions that we had at the time. And it worked fine in those two particular instances in that you have a small number of people who are sort of engaged in that process. So through email with the center, that was okay for those two times. But I don't think that was a good way to move forward. I think it really does need to be something through the council process that reaches out to people. And I think now since we have, like, way more lead time than we want for these assessments, that we will have time to get that done, perhaps through APs and committees, and we just need to set up that process and make sure we follow through.
Anything further? Go to the staff, Chris Kellogg and Andy.
John, I wasn't sure when you wanted to cover the national standard to guideline comments.
Do we
so
have
I just
to?
Want to make sure that we touch that base. We don't have to review them in the sense that they were distributed to the council in the mailing 10 days ago. But I just wanted to point your attention to them, the draft comments drafted by principally the SSC and some comments drafted by the staff, and the comment period ends on March 11th. So I don't know how you want to handle that from this point. We could send these comments forward unless people have objection. But
Steve?
Had a comment.
Yeah, just actually to echo some of the conversations we had this morning, we are in a transition period here with the 2007 authorization. And there are still some things that are unclear to many of us, and these draft guidelines actually clarify matters of peer review, the role of the SSC, and so I'd encourage anybody with strong opinions on that to contribute to comments by March 11th, because similar to National Standard 1 guidelines, once they're published, these are the rules that we'll be following. So now would be the time to get in the input.
Council members? Sally?
Yeah, I'll just say I know that this is a little out of sync, but the comments that David Gaethel made on stakeholder input that the SSC is suggesting, I think, makes sense. I think that especially as we're able to get the timing better with the SSC to give some breathing room between the time they meet and the time that the council or committees or advisory panels have to consider what their input is, that the demand for additional venues for stakeholder input will go down. I also agree that we need to let the SSC do its work unencumbered by the kind of input that the committee and the council and advisory panels accept and work with on a regular basis. So that point, I think, is an important one. I just wanted to reiterate what David said and say, yeah, me too.
To the National Standard 2 comments, does anyone have any comments on them? Has anyone read them? Okay. David?
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to say that I have read them, and I concur with the comments that have been made by both the staff and the SSC. I think they've done a good job of outlining some of the weaknesses in the document as it currently exists, and I don't have any recommended changes.
Anyone else? Okay, Chris. Andy?
I think the council should consider the context of reconsidering the SCATE ABC recommendations at this time. The background on this is that the proposed rule has been published, and the close of comments is February 22nd, which include TACs for 2010 and 2011 and a two-year spec process. There really are no additional information available to present to the SSC other than what was presented in September. That information was available. There was a decision made on how far to do this, update the survey data as an input to the TAC. But furthermore, due to the availability of resources, pre-existing commitments, and the long mailing deadline for the SSC, I can't see how we're going to fit in some kind of PDT review for a March meeting. I could do it for June, but not for March.
Yeah, with all due respect, and Andy does speak with authority on this, we did put in our September report the desire to use the 2008 fall survey data. We feel that is new information that should be used, and we feel we'd be remiss in not using that. And with all due respect to Dr. Pierce, where we might consider the Bigelow data and calibration, we could narrow the scope of this quite a bit and simply update the current ABC method with the 2008 data. That's primarily what the SSC would like to see.
I just want to point out the only mechanism for making an adjustment at this point would be an ad hoc framework adjustment, or it would have to wait to the specification process is scheduled for 2011 to apply to the 2012 fishing year.
My understanding is that the 08 information was not included or not considered the same caliber as the data that came out of the data poor workshop or work group for skates. There was debate at the SSC level about that, but that there was a desire, when possible, to incorporate that most recent data point, which may be the last data point from the Albatross before we make the transition and have to deal with calibration issues. I think that's it sounds like you guys are talking past each other in a sense. Maybe I have it wrong, but
no, I think that Andy is correct. This will take work. This doesn't, you know, it's not a trivial amount of work that it will take. There was not a management action planned for skates next year, this year, but we feel that there are data available that could change skate management, and we feel that we're not procedural experts from a scientific basis.
We have data that has been used to manage skates in the past, and we should use the most current data that we can.
What's the I can't recall now, the proposed action that's in the register right now. What's the reduction that's coming?
Compared to 2007 landings, the reduction is about 53%, I think.
And you said previously that you incorporated or used that 08 data point. The work was already done. You're not sure what new work needs to be done. So I think that's where I'm not clear. Is it a lot of work to do what you've already done, or is it a different type of work?
Well, I'm not sure whether we're going to require a PDT review of that. What was the SSC looking for? There is some concern about the 08 point being inconsistent with previous data. So there should be some discussion of that, I think.
Yeah, I do need to follow up on that. The reason we couldn't use the 2008 survey data last year was that it had not been peer-reviewed yet. We felt similar to previous years, the PDT could evaluate the new point if they accept it to update the ABC method and propose a revised ABC to the SSC, but it would take the PDT evaluating that survey data before it got to the PDT, before it gets to the SSC. That's why we couldn't accept it last year.
Okay, so now I understand what the SSC did and why it did it. I want to go back to Andy. You presented that information to the SSC.
So yes. The fall 2008 survey.
Based on what Steve just said, what additional work do you feel you would need to do in order to present that data again in a way that's usable to the SSC?
Well, if the SSC is looking for a peer review, we'd have to convene a PDT meeting to review the significance of that data and the effect it might have on the TAC and provide any advice from the PDT to the SSC in that regard. There are some key people that are involved in other things right now that a meeting during February is not going to be possible, though.
So there's the skate PDT is 4 or 5 people, 6 people?
About 6 people.
6 people. And you're saying we can't get them together for a day between now and March?
Well, there's some work to be done to meet the mailing deadline. I think this is going to be difficult and get a satisfactory result out of it. If you're going to do it, I'd ask you to do it in June rather than March.
Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, I've got a question regarding the National Standard 2 guidelines. So I think the staff did I'm on a different issue, obviously. You're laughing. So I'll hold off until I can get back to that that point.
Do you have anything to add to the skate discussion?
Not at all.
You're indifferent as to whether or not we try to incorporate the 2008 data point?
I have no opinion on that matter at this time.
All right.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think the having Andy do that work and present it to the SSC is contingent upon priorities. If you want to do a skate action on top of all the actions we're going to discuss tomorrow, then let's discuss it tomorrow and we'll get the work done. But that might mean whiting. We don't, Andy's supposed to be doing whiting. So if we're going to do a skate action, something's going to have to fall off the table. And I don't see doing all this work unless we're going to do an action.
I think that's exactly it, Paul, is that scientifically we feel that the skate ABC can be improved.
Whether that's a priority of the council or not, that's not up to the SSC. At this point, we're recommending an agenda to the council, and it's entirely the council's prerogative to set the agenda and the priorities. And as I understand it, skates was not on the management agenda for 2010. We're just identifying, we're repeating something that was in our recommendation last September, that we feel that skates should be revisited this year. Whether that's a priority of the council or not, we can't speak to.
Okay, so we'll move that to first thing tomorrow under priorities. Thank you, Andy. Dr. Pierce, National Standard 2.
I knew my time would come. On page 3 of the draft comments on the National Standard 2 guidelines, the black and type, I think what is being recommended is that what you're recommending, what the staff is recommending back in response to the comments, the desirable comments, is that all social and economic analyses also be subjected to peer review. Is that true?
Yes. I mean, it depends on what level of review. Is why we're not clear that it's SSC review. But if you're talking about, I mean, the issue is scientific information or analyses. And if you've got analyses that are either, that say you're going to have impacts, is that something that, and this is for the council to consider, is that something that you want reviewed, or is that something that you are satisfied with PDT work? In the past, we've actually tried to get SSC review of social and economic impact analyses. It was very difficult because we were always operating under very tight timelines. There's usually a real constraint on resources, but, you know,
okay, I think that's
that was a goal in the past.
Yeah, it's an excellent recommendation. I strongly support that suggestion, and it certainly is consistent with the SSC's desire to have increased representation as part of its membership, those individuals who can deal with social economic analyses. So, strongly support that.
May I respond?
Yeah, the recommendation there from the staff to distinguish between review of scientific information and policy review is our recommended solution to that issue, and that really comes from a review that was done by the American Fisheries Society and Estuarine Research Foundation. All of the current National Standard 2 guidelines are based on a National Research Council review, and those two bodies produced recommendations that are similar, but we were able to go through the AFS review and identify some things that are not in the current national standard guidelines. And this is one of them, is the distinguishing between scientific peer review and policy peer review. And so a lot of these were very well thought out by the AFS review, and we're just asking that those be considered in the final National Standard 2 guidelines.
I do want to add one thing. The actual point of the comment was that the guidelines say, to the extent practicable, substantial fishery management alternatives considered by a council should be peer-reviewed. The staff thought maybe there was a concern that the line between the analysis of impacts and whether the council should pick a management alternative, which should presumably be a council choice, there should be at least some distinction between that. So it was our comment was that initial guideline is a little vague and it should be actually specific. But scientific review of scientific issues should include social and economic analyses.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you, Chris. I think we're all set, Dr. Cajun. Thank you. Let's go right into the last agenda item. think Michelle is coming forward.
Very, very good. Okay, the last agenda item is
11 minutes.
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 Item is
11.